to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring to anyone who wants to listen this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined every week by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us either live via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee, as today, or from Italy. So we are indeed so blessed, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We can begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, glorious day. Good morning, Mother and sisters.
Hello, everybody out there. Hello.
Isn't it wonderful to come together again? You know, Mother, that supplication that we use, to understand your holy lessons, and again, it takes grace to understand, of course. But it even takes greater grace to sort of put it into practice. And again, that's where I think God continuously tries to accentuate the fact that, okay, I'm going to allow truths to enter into your knowledge. I'm going to give you the grace, hopefully, that those knowledges may resonate in your memory, in the properties of the soul. And then through grace again, it's going to take that memory and convert it into wisdom. So the knowledge in of itself is not extremely valuable. It's the beginning, but it's the wisdom that can be acquired from the knowledge, from these truths, that can only happen through the grace and graces of God. And again, it's going to happen as long as we desire it. I mean, we have so little control over everything in our lives, but yet we have a powerful opportunity to give the control that we don't have to God. And he does everything perfectly, not like us. Because again, if I leave it up to me, I would do everything wrong all throughout the day. So I have to remember, it's not me. It's our blessed Lord. It's just, we have opportunity, right, Mother, in every situation.
Right. Yes. And you know, we're creatures of habit. We have to get in the habit of doing what these writings tell us to do. You know, it's so easy to fall by the wayside and stop doing them. And that's why it's important to continually read, because we're so weak and fragile that we read something and it impresses us, it influences us, we do it, we take it to heart, but then we forget about it. So the reading, continual reading, helps to remind you what you're supposed to be doing, that you're supposed to be focusing on God continually. You know, I was just reading in the messages of Sister Ephraim, Our Lady of America messages. And Our Lady said that from the time she was conceived, she was in understood and realized the divine indwelling. She had that special grace because of being conceived without original sin, that she realized the presence of the Trinity within. We only get to that, we can acquire it, maybe not to the extent that Our Lady did, but to by continually going into ourselves, looking at the Trinity within ourselves, realizing his presence. And when we habitually do it more and more and more, it becomes more than a habit. It becomes a way of life. You realize his presence. And doing acts and rounds in divine will is the same thing. We do them, and we continually call God into our hearts and minds and know that we desire him to do everything in and through us. And after a while, you're living in that realm always without even saying it in words, because you desire it so much, you live in him, you have that gift to always live in his divine will. It comes to that point when you get in the habit of continually calling him and everything. I was just reading in volume 24, June 18, 1937. He says, this is our divine commerce. We want in order to give ourselves. We give ourselves in order to receive the life of the creature in our supreme being. This exchange of lives maintains the conversation. We make ourselves known for who we are. We let her feel the ardent heartbeats, the love that consumes us, how we love her, and how we want to be loved. And then if she did not feel the need of continuously giving herself to us, it is a sign that she does not love us, and her heart is not in possession of our irresistible love. This is a sign of true love, to want to always give oneself, almost in every instant, to whom one loves. But while she gives herself, the strength of love imposes itself such that she wants to receive. And if she did not receive, she would feel suffocated and burst into cries of sorrow as to deafen the heavens and earth. And therefore, in order to not arrive at such straits of sorrow, my love waits for the creature to give herself to me. And I immediately give myself to her with all the infinity of our will. So it's a reciprocal giving and receiving, giving and receiving. You know, we get up in the morning, we give that, we do that little prevenient act. We ask God to do everything in and through us throughout the day. We desire it. We desire him to do everything in and through us today. And we have to realize he already did it for us. He relived each one of our lives to perfection from the time of his conception to his public life. He redid everyone's life to perfection. So what we're doing, we're calling into ourselves that act that he already did for us in a perfect way. Each act we do, we're calling into ourselves. And so he did it. We're not doing it. Only God can do a divine act. But because we're asking him to give us that gift of what he already did for us, and we return it to him to give to the Father so the Father could all get all the honor and glory he deserves had Adam and Eve never sinned. That's what it's all about. It's all about giving God the honor and glory that he should have received. So our motive has to be pure, too. Why do we want to do acts and round the divine will? Because we want a high place in heaven, because he says that those living in his divine will have the highest places in heaven. Or we want to eliminate purgatory. He says if you live in divine will perfectly, you don't go to purgatory. No. Your motive should be you want to give God the honor and glory he deserves. That's the motive behind all of this, you know. I mean, yes, you might be happy that, you know, you be in heaven and maybe eliminate purgatory. That's a good thing, you know. But you want to eliminate purgatory because you want to go to him quicker so you could be with him forever for all eternity and not have to stop off somewhere else, you know.
Well, you know, Mother, what you just said really defines what Jesus considers an upright intention. It's that we want this for God above all, because God wants it, that's why we want it. Not because we're robotic, but it's our love and our affection, and then everything else is ancillary. But that's very important. And, you know, God gives us the opportunity to do it in our own way. And sometimes, you know, everything is a challenge, of course, in this fallen state. I mean, like, for example, today is the feast of St. Margaret of Hungary. I mean, she was the daughter of a king. She was a princess. And how difficult is it for a princess, I would think, to recognize that there's a greater being than the king or kings, and that then she eventually became a Dominican novice, I think at the age of 12 years old. So again, she was there, but it was very difficult for her. And then what did she do? She was known for the menial tasks. She took upon herself emulating our Blessed Mother. Remember when our Blessed Mother, we learned from the City of God, that when she went to visit St. Elizabeth, you know, she was told, no, sit down, rest. And every time St. Elizabeth would leave the room, she'd get up and start sweeping, our Blessed Mother would do. So these menial tasks, these hospital visits, this is what she loves. So we have to recognize too that again, this divine will is all about hope, and it's not about who we are in this world. In fact, sometimes, like for example, this Saint Margaret, she was born a princess. Sometimes it's more difficult if you're born a princess, or if you're the most handsome, or if you're the prettiest, or if you're the strongest, because you've got the whole world taking you, you know, carrying you off into this, you know, into this kingship of your own, queenship of your own, of worldly things. And you've got to sort of be that salmon to be able to swim against the current, to be able to lay your eggs. It's just incredible how God has allowed even this fallen state, this exile, to give us all these beautiful opportunities to, as he states in volume 17, to enchant him, not just to move him, but to enchant him, because he says, I must give you additional grace and graces to make it through what you're going to go through. Cause it could be extremely difficult these next coming years or so.
But those with him, those living in his divine will, won't experience so much of the what's going on, because I think the worst part of it would be spiritual darkness. Right. Because, you know, Louisa loved the cross. She desired the cross. When we get to the point where we're so in love with God and we know the value of the cross won't affect us so much. I mean, it won't be that you won't suffer, because if you didn't suffer, it wouldn't be a cross. But that realizing the value of it, you will long for it. You know, he says, if we realize the value of the cross, we would compete to have more crosses, you know. The crosses are coming, but that's a gift. That will be a gift. And this purification that's coming is a gift from God to purify the world and the church. What a great gift that is. Don't lament over what's going to happen. It's going to be much better in the end, you know. So we have to want the purification to take place. So the divine will reign. Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph. That won't happen until this purification takes place. I think our Immaculate Heart has already started to triumph. We're the beginning of it, you know, because I see so many beautiful things happening. People's faith growing, more adoration chapels, people praying more. The faith is growing, you know. I heard years ago when I was a little girl, Billy Graham said it was like in the 50s. 1950s, he said, good is getting better and bad is getting worse. Well, it's more so today than then. Good is getting better and bad is getting worse. There will be no more in between. You're either going to be on the right or the left. So let's all strive to get on the right. I was just reading in volume 34 to 1937. Now you must know that as a soul decides repeatedly and firmly to live no more of her will but of ours, her name becomes written in heaven with indelible characters of light, and she becomes enrolled in the celestial militia as heiress and daughter of the kingdom of the divine will. But this is not enough for our love. We confirm her in good in a way that she will feel such horror for every least sin that she will not be capable anymore of falling. Not only this, but she will remain confirmed in the goods, in the love, in the sanctity, etc., of her Creator. She will be invested by the prerogative of reclaimed part. She will no longer be looked at as exile. And if she will remain on earth, she will be as officiating of the celestial militia, not as exile. She will have all the goods of her disposition. She will be able to say, his will be in mine. What is of God is mine. Rather, she will feel herself possessor of her Creator. So the more we desire to live in his divine will, the more we call him in everything we do, the more we possess this great gift of living totally in his divine will. But we have to start somewhere. We have to develop that habit. Call him in everything you do throughout the day. So what are you doing when you do that? You're thinking of him. You're realizing God's presence within yourself, doing everything in and through you, and knowing that he did it for you already. He just wants to do that. Everything is present to God. He redid it in a perfect way for you already, but he wants you to call him into himself so he could give you that gift that he redid and do it in you right now at this present moment. And so, you know, live in the present moment. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Mother Angelica used to say, past is dead. The future is unborn. You only have the present moment. Don't lament over the past. Don't worry about the future. Live right now in his divine will for him, calling him into this moment in your life, in this present moment. Whatever you're doing, say, Jesus, you're doing it in me. Realize his presence, and you're going to grow and fall in love with him so much. And not only with God, but you're going to fall in love with everybody, because you're going to be loving everyone with his love. He's going to be reliving his life in you. You're going to take on the attributes and the virtues of God, and you're going to be transformed continually. The more you do that, you're going to become more and more like him. Like St. Thomas Aquinas says, we will become like little gods. We're not God. We never will be God, but we become like him and take on all of his attributes and his virtues.
Yeah. Spot on, Mother, about, again, embrace today, because that's really all we have right now. You know, yesterday's past, tomorrow we're not guaranteed. We have today. Father John Olin Brown, when he visited us here at Mary's Hill, he said, I don't know if he coined this phrase or if you're just repeating it. He said, today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because both of those, yesterday and tomorrow, they can strip us. They can deprive us of today. I mean, only we can do that. But we can allow that to happen. But, you know, Mother, you mentioned also about thinking about Jesus. You know, that's where I think it begins. Just similar to like the human body's digestive system. Where does digestion begin? It begins really with the eyes, right? We envision food, and then, you know, that triggers the enzymes in the stomach. It gets everything going. You know, there's a compilation of passages that are entitled How to Study the Writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Again, these are not my suggestions. This is what Jesus and our Blessed Mother stated. It's on our website at queenofthedivinewill.org. In fact, I believe it's in the on the page entitled Divine Will Resource Library. And I'd like to read just one passage again. I think it's spot on to what you just said, Mother. It's from Volume 13, October 13th, 1921. This is our Blessed Lord stating, quote, "My daughter, each time that I speak to you, I intend to open a little fountain in your heart. For all my words are fountains that lead to and gush upon eternal life. But to form these fountains in your heart, you must do your own part. That is, you must masticate, you must chew these words well in order to swallow them and open a fountain for you. By repeatedly thinking about them, you perform the mastication. By recounting them to whomever holds authority over you, and by becoming assured that they are my words, you will without doubt devour them and open the fountain within you. When necessary, you will help yourself and drink large gulps from the fountain of my truth," end quote. So exactly what you said, Mother. We start the process thinking of God. Again, we had that desire. Jesus says anyone in the state of grace with a desire can receive this gift. Again, we're not talking about on the level of Luisa, but we're talking about entrance into the gift. And we know how important that is based on what Jesus tells us. He says, there is an abundance of gifts that I must give the soul, but the soul must enter into the gift in order for me to give the plethora of those graces. So again, he's giving us the opportunity. If this was limited to just a few people, I mean, this would not be God. God is generous. He says, this gift is available to all souls, anyone, in all circumstances, all places, all situations, unless they don't want it. And of course, if they're not in the state of grace, they cannot receive it. So it's all here. It's almost so easy, it's difficult. Mother?
Yeah, it is very easy. Children can live in it, you know. I don't find anything complicated in the volumes. I've read them many times, and I don't know why people think it's complicated, or, you know, if you keep reading, it becomes simpler and simpler every time that you read it. And every time you read the volumes, you go back to them, number one again, after you finish all 36, it's like you never read them before, because God's teaching you new things each time, you know. But, you know, and our Lord told Luisa that they will find if they find fault with these volumes, there's no fault to be found in them. If there is, it's from their lack of understanding, not because there's anything wrong with the writings, you know. And the church has already said that they're, you know, approved all of them. They've already been approved by three or four theologians. I think Cardinal Ratzinger in 1997, and two or three other theologians in the Vatican. So they've already decided there's nothing wrong with these volumes. They're just trying to clarify a few things right now so people don't misunderstand them. But, you know, if you read them over and over again, you won't misunderstand. God is simple. If you're simple, you're going to understand it. If you're complicated, you may not understand it. So, you know, pray for that simple heart to be like God in that way, and to understand the simple things in life, and you will have total joy.
Right. Masticate. Chew. Hello, sister.
Hello, Peter. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Sister Magdalena. ¿Cómo está, Kana?
Mabuti po. Marang aluman. So I was just listening to you and Mother, and so many things came to mind, and I don't know where to begin, because the divine will is so vast, so big, that you can just point at any dot, and it's all divine will. So now I'm really having a trouble. I mean, where do I begin? What do I stand? But this is so beautiful.
No problem.
So beautiful. It's a good kind of problem. So I come up with a words, some words that I've heard between you and mother. Mother mentioned about, you know, we are creatures of habit. And you also somehow mentioned about, you know, that divine will is so vast and that, you know, we have to also, you know, pay attention, all these many things. And I will just connect that to my meditation today in volume 6, December 29, 1904. And the title of this passage is, most of the time, human weakness is lack of vigilance and of attention. Now, like human weakness, I'm talking about this because while I'm listening to Mother and you, you know, how we are creatures of habit and we have to really read the volumes. If it's really, you know, possible, if we need to find time to really read the volumes because we are weak. And in this weakness, Jesus says, it is the lack of vigilance and attention. So when we don't read the volumes, we don't pay attention to what we read, and especially when we don't put it into action, what we read, we don't put it into action, more likely we will forget it. But if we read it and we practice it, put it into action, then we're more likely to remember it and we're more likely to overcome our weakness. So let me read to you this passage. So Louisa was telling Jesus, sharing with Jesus about her feelings. She said, as I was in my usual state, I was thinking about the most humiliating steps that our Lord suffered, and I felt horror within myself. But then I said to myself, Lord, forgive those who renew for you these sorrowful steps, because too great is the weakness that man contains. I'll stop here for a moment because there were two, like I mentioned before, an act. My mother mentioned about a divine act, you know, acts and rounds. When you do a simple act of walking, now two things can happen. You can either walk to commit sin or walk to practice virtue for the love of God. Now, if we go walk, do this act of walking towards sin, that is because of our weakness. And Jesus says, you know, and so Louisa was like repairing. So the beauty about living in the divine will is that when we do this, and people may not know about it, they misunderstand the divine will, they're opposing the divine will because they're misunderstanding it, not lack of understanding. We cannot worry about these things. We cannot worry because our acts, with our understanding, with our constant study and reading, with our study, we will be able to repair for all of these acts. And so, and then she continues here, my daughter, that which is said to be most human, my daughter, that which is said to be human weakness, most of the time is lack of vigilance and attention on the parts of leader, that is parents and superiors. In fact, when a creature is watched over and checked and is not given the freedom that she wants, not receiving its nourishment, the weakness is destroyed by itself, while yielding to one's weakness is nourishment to becoming worse in that weakness. And I don't think I have plenty of time to really explain my meditation. This I can go back later and there's a break. But basically, Peter, I may just have stopped now because I don't want to lose my train of thought. So I would just pass the baton to you.
No, that's prudent. I constantly lose my train of thought. That's why I sound like I do. But what you said there, Sister, even though it's a part of what you want to say, it's so important. And again, we talk about this mastication. We just talked about it with Mother about how the physical anatomy of digestion and digesting the truths. I mean, God draws these similarities. In fact, in volume 7, let me just go into the break with this. Volume 7, February 28, 1906. This is our Blessed Lord stating, quote, when the soul masticates or chews these truths and makes them her nourishment, then grace communicates itself and takes possession. That is the reason why not all souls receive these effects, because these truths speed through their mind like a flash of lightning, end quote. So to masticate, we were told as children, chew your food well. Why? Well, you'll get sick. You'll get indigestion. You'll get heartburn. You'll make it difficult for your digestive system to operate. And the more we chew, the easier it is for our body to take and assimilate and distribute the nutrients. Same with the truths. The more we masticate, the more we chew on them, the more we repeat them, think about them, meditate, pray for the contemplation to kick in. You know, when meditation reaches its max, of course, God gives us the grace for contemplation. All of this brings us to where we want to be. And last but not least, before we go into the break, we keep reiterating the fact to read the volumes. It is so important because if God has made these writings available to us, he expects us to read or listen. They're also available in audiobooks. But let's not broach into the heresy of Gnosticism. You can receive this gift even without the volumes, if that be God's good pleasure. Remember, mystical gifts are given unequally, not like our baptismal gifts, which are given equally. God gives this gift to whomever he wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. But if we are given the opportunity to read, we are indeed expected to read. That is the fast track. That is the direct path. That is the way God can keep us down the corridor. And that corridor keeps all the water, all the filth, all the rocks, all the dirt, everything away from us as we enter into this journey through the exile. If you think about it, we finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
Dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, our Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. I just spent a moment here to talk about something very, very important. You know, St. Pope John Paul II, he wrote an encyclical on the proper use of media, and it really was one of the things that actually spurred us to do what we do with our websites and also to have the courage to go before the microphone. He stated in a nutshell that, you know, since the other side has used it in a diabolical way, why can't we offset that and counter that with something good? And there aren't many. There aren't many Radio Marias out there. In fact, there are no other Radio Marias out there except Radio Maria Worldwide. And this is not by surprise. I mean, just really quickly, Pope Pius XI, back in 1937, he identified the situation we would be in right now with the media. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I'm going to read perhaps a few lines. And this is from Pope Pius XI. Quote, "There is the rapid diffusion found in a propaganda so truly diabolical that the world has perhaps never witnessed its like before. It is directed from one common center. It is shrewdly adapted to the varying conditions of diverse peoples. It has at its disposal great financial resources, gigantic organizations, international congresses, and countless trained workers. It makes use of pamphlets and reviews of cinema, theater, and radio, of schools and even universities. A powerful factor is the conspiracy of silence on the part of a large section of the non-Catholic press of the world. This silence is favored by various occult forces, which for a long time have been working for the overthrow of the Christian social order." I'll stop there. Again, this was identified in 1937. We're exactly there right now. The media has been hijacked. It's been corrupted. It's being used for the diabolical. Again, not all. And there are some bright lights, one of which is Radio Maria. But the reason why Radio Maria is not corruptible, first of all, it's Our Lady's work. And second of all, they don't take any money from anyone. No one can direct how they do their business, what they say, and when they say it. This is 100% listener support. So that's even a greater reason why we must help. Again, St. John of the Cross states in his prologue of the Canticle, stanza 11, he says, quote, "Mystical wisdom comes through love," end quote. And we can all show our love. We can all cooperate. We can all participate. We can all be part of this beautiful, beautiful ministry of Radio Maria. So again, listener supported, which means anyone who can, please give generously. And if you can, please call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. Or simply go to radiomaria.us and click on the donate button. Again, this is vital. This is how we can all participate. And there is no difference, really, between who's on the microphone and who's providing the financial resources in order to keep the microphone on air. We're all connected. We're all together in this. We all play our part. It's like a puzzle. One piece of the puzzle is missing. It's not complete. So we all have to do our job. Again, St. John of the Cross tells us mystical wisdom comes through love. Charity is the factor Jesus tells us that binds all virtue. So please, if you can, be generous. 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. Anyone making a donation, either live today or whether you're listening to this in the archives, we will offer you a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of her clothing. So again, any donation, please be generous as you can. God knows what you can give, and he knows if you cannot give. So if you cannot give financially, we can ask that you give spiritually. We can all give. We can all participate. We can all be part of this beautiful, beautiful ministry. Speaking of beautiful, I have the privilege every week to be with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Doors of Divine. You know, who's got it better than me? I mean, Kevin said it once, this guy gets to sit down with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters every week, and I really do. And I don't take this job lightly. I'm really, really blessed to have this opportunity. So, sister, you were halfway before we had to interrupt you.
Would you like to continue? Yeah, that's right. You know, mystical, you mentioned about mystical wisdom goes mm-hmm. through love. And I would say gratitude also, because when we love and we want to help an organization that does so well to the world, like Radio Maria, like our program, you can't just say love, but you also have to demonstrate that love through gratitude by returning back to God, either prayer or material. But, you know, obviously we are still in the world, so we need material blessing as well. So thank you for your donations on that one. So I'm halfway through, just almost, you know, finish here. I'll just say, you know, I repeat the phrase that I would like to expound a little bit. My daughter, that which is said to be human weakness most of the time is lack of vigilance and of attention on the part of leaders. That is parents and superiors. You, Peter, you talk about how evil the world is now. You know, all this media is evil. It is because of human weakness. Man was not created bad. We were not created bad by God. But we are, through sin, we became weak. And how did this happen? Formation, bad formation. It starts from the time we were born. We were born in affluence. We were born, we were spoiled brats. We were no longer formed God's ways, God's divine will. And so because of that, we become, you know, greedy. And all of these evil things that's going on in the world is selfishness, greedy. And we need to go back to where we come from. And that is, we come from the bosom of the divine will. And parents, you are parents out there, superiors, priests, any leaders at all in that matter, we need to be example. You know, for example, reading the divine will, and if we read the divine will and we don't live it, then it becomes scandalous. People don't want to follow what we preach because we don't do what we say. So it's a very important thing that when we talk about the divine will, we need to prove it in our actions through our love. You know, I was listening to The Hidden Messages in Water by Dr. Masaru Emoto. I don't know if you've heard about this, but he's a Japanese scientist. And I listen, I'm halfway through his talk. It's about 2 hours and I'm halfway through. He is not Christian. He is not Catholic or whatever, but he mentions all religions. And he talks about how our words, our emotions, our gaze affects our environment, you know, affects water. He experimented water. And when water exposed with curses and bad emotions, the crystal formation is deformed. I mean, it is scientific, Peter. It's scientific. You can go find this out online, YouTube. And if the water is exposed to kind words, loving, even our gazes, loving gaze, the water crystal formation is beautiful. So, and this is divine will. I'm thinking about this because when we do acts and rounds and how we do with the sky, with the stars, put by I love you, how it really affects our environment, our love. And in divine will, if you remember, in some passages, it talks about even the way we gaze at things. We talk, the softness of our voice, it comes from our heart. Because if we believe that our soul, our heart is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, it comes out from within. It affects environment. I don't want to go into detail because I...
No, but I believe that, sister. In fact, I remember years ago, there was a report out with house plants where if you shout at them, they're not going to do well. But if you speak kindly to them, again, you know, think about when Jesus says that all of creation was created for us. Mm-hmm. They may be mute in their language.
Yes.
But in their own way, they understand. I don't know how to phrase that exactly, but go back to you, please.
Yes. So anyway, and I'll continue a little passage here. Ah, my daughter, just as the soul becomes impregnated with virtue, like a dry sponge becomes soaked with water, that is, with light, with beauty, with grace, with love, in the same way, sin and the weaknesses that one yields to impregnate the soul, just like a sponge becomes soaked with mud. That is, with darkness, with ugliness, and even with hatred against God. So our body is composed of majority water, maybe 75% water. I don't know how the percentage is, but our body is composed of water. So can you imagine when we speak to one another, our children, our brothers, our colleagues, co-workers, whatsoever, in our community, we speak ugly words to them. How is it going to affect them? Then there's this depression and all these negative thoughts. And we turn it around. We say kind words and virtues, practice virtues. All these children grow up in virtue. And so that solves the problems of the world. I mean, I really encourage you to listen to this because I'm not finished again, like I said, but it's so beautiful. One more testimony. I made it, learning a divine will now. I'm making a practice for me to say, I love you on the plants, on animals. And the plants, I was taking care of a plant of a brother. It's cold here, right? So I put it by the window because it needs some light. And every now and then I would do my sewing and I would look at the plant. I would say, I love you to the plant. I would admire the plant. And you know what? It bloomed. It bloomed three flowers in the winter. I mean, I could show you, I don't have the plant right now. But I believe that really these plants listens to what we say.
Also, I think you were saying that holy water, when they tested holy water, after the water was blessed, it was different than before it was blessed. It was beautiful, beautiful formation. And then if you take just a little drop of holy water and put it in another container of water, all the water changes like the holy water. So all the whole big jar of holy water becomes blessed when you just put a few drops in them.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
No, just really quickly, when you're mentioning about the blooming, I thought about St. Bernadette, you know, with the roses that had to impress upon the priest in wintertime. Again, I do believe that.
And Peter, one more thing quickly, because I need to pass it on to the sisters. What Mother was sharing earlier, you can find it on YouTube. I need to find it for myself. I've seen it one time. It was an Orthodox church, and one parishioner was making an experiment on holy water and how holy water is different than the regular water. And the holy water has beautiful crystals, beautiful image than the regular water. And they also experimented a drop of holy water in a regular water. The holy water will contaminate goodness into the regular water. So you may want to find that on YouTube. I don't know. But anyway, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, scientific property, when you've got two elements, the stronger of the two is the one that remains. Of course, the holy water is stronger than the regular water. Right, Sister Jacinta? Would you say so?
Yes, that's so true. yes, that's why it's so important to just watch all our actions and thoughts and words, because we don't know exactly how all our actions and words may affect others. Like, if you're mean to someone, like, they may just forgive you, but then later on that shows like a lot of consequences. And during the illumination of conscience, Jesus will show us all the effects of our good and bad acts and how it affected others in ways that you can't see. I remember a while ago last year, I read the warning book by, I think her name is Christine Watkins, and she was writing all these testimonies of people who saw the illumination of conscience, their own illumination, and they were saying that they didn't realize how even their little actions, like stealing something from a store when they were a child, how much that like had a disastrous chain of effects in their lives, and their sins even went as far as like affecting like continents and throughout time and space. So that was just something to think about. So as Mother was saying earlier about how the divine will volumes, these truths are simple, and it's so true. And it also reminds me of just being childlike, like in our heart, in our soul, and in our disposition to live in the divine will. So today I just feel like really inspired to just talk about littleness in the divine will. So from March 26, 1933, in volume 32, at the beginning of this passage, Louisa was thinking about like how she would love to destroy her littleness so she could feel nothing other than the divine volition. But then she realizes that she can't completely destroy her littleness because Jesus also doesn't want it to be completely destroyed, but he wants our littleness alive in order to operate inside of the living volition, not dead, but so that he can have his tiny little field of our littleness in order to receive the great work of the divine will. So Jesus tells us through Louisa about littleness. My little daughter of my will, you must know that the littleness of the creature serves us as the space for word to be able to form our works. It serves us as the nothing of creation, and because it is nothing, we call to life inside of her our most beautiful works. We want that this littleness be empty of everything that does not pertain to us, but alive, so that she would feel how much we love her and the life of the works of our will that it develops in her. Therefore, you must content yourself with remaining alive without you being the master, because this is the greatest sacrifice and heroism of one who lives of divine will. feeling herself alive in order to endure the divine mastery, such that she does what it wants, how it wants, as long as it wants. This is the sacrifice of sacrifices, the heroism of heroisms. Does it seem little to you to feel that if the life of one's own volition would not serve oneself, as if it would not have the right to lose one's own freedom voluntarily, so that it would serve my will, giving it its just rights? So when I was reading about this, it really reminded me of Our Lady. Like, even in her conception, like, she was she had reason, and she was given the test to live as if she didn't have her human will, and to just completely submit to the divine will. And that's really what it reminds me of, because yes, there's a lot of sacrifices and penances you can do. But the greatest one is just completely surrendering our human will to the divine will, and to just let the two will walks as one will to fuse together. And I'd also like to read a little bit from the notebooks of Maria Valtorta, where Jesus talks to her about the Our Father prayer, about the lead us not into temptation. And it connects with this passage because in order to be little, we have to realize our humility, and we have to be humble enough in order to realize that we're really nothing, and our littleness will be a key in order to open into the
vastness of what this
So Jesus tells Valtorta, pray with humility that God may avert temptations from you. Oh, humility, to know oneself for what one is, without losing heart, but to know oneself. So, remain little in the hearts of Jesus and Mary. And also, when I think of the divine indwelling, I think of the fish in the sea of the divine will, like the fish in the ocean and the ocean in the fish. So, and there's a lot of little other metaphors Jesus tells us in the volumes about littleness and nothingness that are really good to look at.
Right. It's also important too not to take some of the words literally. Like, for example, when Jesus says we must annihilate our human will, annihilation means to obliterate. It's not there anymore. Actually, St. Augustine says it's one of our greatest gifts, because it's the trigger that is able to defer its will to God's most holy divine will. And again, I put that in the same category as when I ill with love, or the pains of love. How can love be painful? Well, again, in a metaphorical way, right, Sister Gloria?
Yes, like you said, St. Augustine said, love God and do what pleases you. So if you love God, you want to do what he wants, and then you don't want to offend God. So when you love God, you will do his will. So we don't have to worry about what's wrong or what's right, but we just live our life with God, in God, through God. Mothers talked about how simple we have to be, and she also, Sister Jacinta also talked about the humility and nothingness. And it reminded me of Saint Faustina, one of the sisters who lived with her. She said that she was very simple, and that she did not stand out among them, and that she was one of them, but more virtuous, more recollected, and more united to God. For her, receiving communion, it was the most solemn moment in her life. When she received the Holy Communion, because she invited him in her heart, and he entered in the dwelling of her heart. But when we live in the divine will, every moment should be receiving communion, because communion, it is the divine willed his presence to be in the host, as whole, as his divinity, his humanity, his blood and flesh. He's just everything is in the Holy Communion. He wants to give us his whole, and love wants to give everything, yourself to the person you love. And same thing with the divine will. And Jesus said to Saint Faustina, I have left my heavenly throne to become united with you. Jesus, he really wants us to begin our eternal life, not only in heaven, but already on earth through living in the divine will, because it makes us more capable of communing with God through all eternity. So really, this is greatest gift that God gave us, this knowledge of living in the divine will. And I read this passage from volume 30. Jesus said to Luisa, "Daughter of my will, never leave me alone. Your mama wants you together with her. I want your company in the incessant prayer that I do for all creatures. I do everything for them. I do not leave them for one instant, because if I left them, they would lose life. Yet there are those who do not recognize me. Even more, they offend me, while I am all for them. Oh, how hard is loneliness. This is why I long for you, my daughter. Oh, how dear to me is your company in my acts. Company renders the work sweet. It empties it of its weight and is the bearer of new joys." So God loves us as mother, as father loves their children. And God is always waiting for us to be with him. And he wants to give everything to us. Like when you imagine a baby that is just sleeping in the arms of her mom, the baby doesn't do anything. She cries when she's hungry. She cries when she needs attention, when the diaper needs to be changed. I mean, that's how we should be. We have to be like baby, like child, so simple. 'Cause we don't have to do anything. I mean, we don't know how to do things on our own because everything comes from God. So we really have to like plunder ourselves in our nothingness, in our nothingness and humility. That's truly when God can pour himself out with himself. And God actually really loves when we become like a baby to him. Even like when Luisa complained to Jesus, like how she wasn't able to do anything without God's presence, like how she became so distracted in her prayer, like that she didn't do anything like special in her meditation when God, Jesus was not there. But Jesus said that just resign yourself, to abandon yourself in me, and expect everything from me, as if baby is expecting everything from her mom. So it is really important. I mean, we cannot make God or make God sad because we are not capable, because we are not nothing, because God knows we are babies. We are God's babies, and he knows what we lack, what we can do. But as long as we have the upright intention that we want to do his will, that we want to live in his will, then he will fulfill everything that's lacking. And that's his promise.
I can relate to that. I also cry sometimes when I'm hungry, and I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of it. Mother, we've got about 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
Okay, before. I was just reading volume 35 here, August 23rd, 1937. Our Lord tells Luisa, "You must know that the more the creature seeks my will, wanting to know it, loving it, and not letting it escape in each of her acts, the more my will grows in its fullness. One more little attention is enough to make it grow. A sigh, a desire for its life. Oh, how wonderfully it grows, pushing it so high, up to the heights of the divine sphere, to know the highest and most intimate secrets. My will is life, and as life, it does not want to stop. It wants to grow continuously, and to grow, it awaits the most tiny act, a loving invitation from the creature. Even more so, since it doesn't want to grow by force, but it wants the creature also to desire the continuous growth and fullness of my will. As its fullness grows, so does the divine strength within the soul, the sanctity, the beauty, the happiness, the knowledge, and the fullness of the innumerable goods that my divine fiat possesses. See then how much it means, one additional act, a sigh, a desire for it, a call. So we look at her again and again, and we recognize in her our strength and our beauty, and oh, how much we love her. Before this creature, our love swells up. It overflows from ourselves and pours into her so much that it fills her up, forming around and inside of her our maze of fidgeting love, the ardent desire to make grow the fullness of our will. There is a great difference between those who are all attentive, all eyes and all heart for my will, and the ones who just want it, but without any additional attention, special attention. It seems that these don't have eyes to see it, heart to love it, and voice to call it in all things. Maybe they possess my will in small part, but its fullness is far away from them. So God wants us to have continual, to embrace this continuously, to do acts and rounds continuously. He told Louisa, one act and one round loss is a great loss, because it's an act and round of God. An act of God is just so tremendous. It's, you can't understand it. You can't believe how the magnanimity of it, the magnificence of one act or one round done in divine will, because of that act that is done by God.
Amazing. That was amazing. What a great way to close out the program, Mother. Those beautiful words. And I like to also close. I had mine, but not as good as that. But this is from Volume 7, February 28, 1906. I think it accentuates what we talked about today. Quote, this is Jesus speaking. Quote, when the soul masticates these truths and makes them her nourishment, then grace communicates itself. That is the reason why not all souls receive these effects, because these truths speed like through their minds like a flash of lightning. End quote. Take your time, read it, pray on it. It's for everyone. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria for this opportunity. Thank you, Mother and sisters, for your vocation and your
Thank
love.
You. Thank you. God bless you all. God bless.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.